Welcome to Trinity Fall Women's Bible Study. Did not see this coming. I hope that y'all are with us. We're going to give out our lectures. Instead of gathering together and being in the same room, we're going to go with something different for COVID. We're going to release these the Friday night before a weekend, before the week, and you can watch them, or they'll also be in a podcast version if you'd rather listen while you're walking or driving. And so be sure to listen to the lecture and then get with your small group and discuss it. And you can watch this video together, or you can just watch it ahead of time and then gather with your small group. Just a few housekeeping things. My name is Susan. If you're new to Trinity, I'm on staff at Trinity Presbyterian Church, and we're so glad you've joined us for Bible study this fall. And we hope that if there's anything you need, you will reach out to either your friend at Trinity, or you can always call me. And all of that is on our website, all that contact information. So please reach out. Also, if you have any questions, we are flying through Genesis this semester, so we're not going to get to a lot of the stuff you may have questions about. Feel free to email me or call me, or let's have lunch. Socially distanced probably, but still, I'm really up for conversations. I do not have all the answers, but I do love Genesis, and I love just talking about God's Word with you. So, also, it's really important that you be in your group. This is that rope we've been talking about. There is a rope that you need to have in place to God's Word and to community at Trinity. And we really hope this could serve as a rope for you so that you feel known by people at Trinity, you feel connected to that body. We can't know everyone in our church, but I feel like if you have a tight little group of women that you can text if you need something, or you need to know how something happens at church, or you just need someone to pray for you, you will be in a better place if you have those, even if it's just a few people. And with COVID right now, it seems like we need to get into smaller groups. So we're going to use that instead of fighting it. So those are all the housekeeping issues I have. Again, if you have any questions, let me know. But let's jump into Genesis. This week, you're not meeting with small groups. This is just a little teaser. This is an introduction to the Bible study. So let's pray and let's get started. Lord, you're so good to us that even when we cannot gather, you provide for us. And more importantly, you provide your word. And I ask that your word would be living and active, and that it would give us a lot of joy, a lot of peace, and a lot of energy for this season we're in right now. Help us to understand it by your power, Lord. Amen. Okay. Have you ever wondered why you are here? Have you ever asked yourself, what am I doing every day? There has got to be more than just this same stack of laundry. Or maybe you drive home from being in a workplace, or you drop off your kids at school and you go home to a quiet house or an apartment and you just think, what next? Sometimes I stay busy, so I don't think that. Sometimes my busyness, I can't outrun it, and it kind of sneaks up on me. How am I choosing to spend my life? Is this all there is? Especially in the season we've been in with a pandemic, all the unrest socially and politically, it's enough just to make you want to get away from it all. But you can never really get away from yourself and knowing, why did God put me here? What am I supposed to be doing? And that's one of the reasons I want us to study Genesis. I want us to go to the very beginning. Let's get back to the basics and see, how did this all start? I want us to maybe even see that a lot of the answers to the issues around us today, the DNA of those answers we can find in Genesis. And it gives us a foundation for how to think and how to act and how to even just talk to ourselves about what we're in right now. We were created to walk in the garden with God. And that reality got broken. By Genesis 3, the paradise has been broken. It is lost. And in seeing the beginning of our days on earth, of just earth's days, we get to peek ahead into the key of how we live in our present days and what's in our future. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. That's our hook sentence. What happens next? We know that God was here first. We know he did something. We know we messed it up. And how's he going to get us back to what he made? So the first thing is we're going to get a first peek in Genesis at many things. We're going to get a peek at the first sunrise, the first hummingbird, the first croak of a frog, the first time a cat climbed a tree. All the things we take for granted happened for the first time in Genesis. We're also going to see the first history, how God made us, what were the first people like, how we are made in his image, how we are different than the animals he made, than the plants he made, that we, like he, are built for relationships. We are built to live forever. That we're going to see the first candlelight dinner with the first marriage, Adam and Eve. And we'll see that even before sin, God said something wasn't good. And that was that Adam was alone, that he needed someone else, and he made Eve. We're also going to see the first job because God created work before sin. We're going to also see the first Sabbath day, the first day of rest, the first day off. Even God took a holiday. And we're going to see the first meaning of life. Why we were put here was to cultivate and take care of things, to walk with God, to enjoy him, and to enjoy the world he made. We're going to also see the first sin, the thing that broke the mirror, the thing that just destroyed this paradise. We're going to see the first baby named Cain. We're going to see the first family drama with sibling rivalry between Cain and Abel. The first death, Abel, by the hand of his brother. We're going to see the first big pilgrimage of Abram when God called him out of his hometown, where he was probably like a well-to-do guy. And God said, I want you to come and trust me. And I'm going to lead you and I'm going to make you into a great people. We'll get to see our spiritual family tree in Abraham and in Genesis 12:3, where he promises to bless his offspring. That's us. But the only thing that we're going to see that was not the first time it was seen is God. You know, John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, that's Jesus, and without him, nothing that was made was made. That means this wasn't God's first time in history. He's outside of history. He's before history. He was here before. And my brain can't quite handle that. I can kind of picture eternity future, I guess because I'll be here for that, but I can't quite picture eternity past. That is hard. That is a hard concept for me to contain because we were made for time. We are time pieces, and this is outside of our time. You know, God shows this truth to Job when Job is really struggling and not understanding why horrible things were happening to him and feels deserted and feels like somehow God has not been who he was supposed to be. And what does God do? Does he give him his explanation? Does he kind of map it out for him and say, here's how all the things are working together for good for you, Job? No. Job gets in chapter 38, verse 4, God says to him, where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? That's kind of a humbling comeback, isn't it? For God to say, you're questioning the person that created all this. You want to revisit that attitude? You want to think again of the context of you and of me, that we were not here. And as much as that makes me just shut my mouth and go, oh, it also comforts me that in the crazy world we're in right now, and let's face it, between school and jobs, and if I look into the future much, I get panicky. I need something outside of me. I need something outside of our leaders in our country. I need something outside of the world's and man's wisdom. I need something that existed before all this. Something that's smarter than I am. Something that's wiser. Something that has more power and control than I do or any man does. So that gives me actually a lot of comfort that God pre-existed Genesis. We get to meet God for the first time. We see that He's a living, personal God, that He was the kind of creator that created Adam and Eve and then wanted to walk with them in the cool of the day. He wanted to hang out with them. He was relational. He was perfect. And He is self-revealed. He shows us what He wants us to know. Matter of fact, He gave us the whole Bible so we would be able to see Him. So that's the first thing. We're going to see all these firsts in this first book of the Bible. But also, when I start teaching a Bible study, I at least need some context. I need to see, okay, how does this book fit into the big picture? And so, first of all, this book, it sounds crazy because it's on the beginning and it's on the time that was before the writer wrote it, who is Moses. Moses, if you know, led the people of God out centuries after creation. But he wrote the Pentateuch, which is a group of five books that talks about the laws of God and the stories of how those laws were made. And so we see Genesis as the first book of those five books, of just kind of giving the history, the early history and the laws of God's people. It also has a structure. Chapters 1 through 11 are more the primeval history, whereas chapters 12 through 50, we get specific and we start honing in on Abraham and this spiritual family, this chosen family of God, and how He is going to start keeping that promise that He makes to Adam and Eve to send a Savior and to fix the mess that they made. But also think of Genesis as in the big picture of the covenant. And the covenant is a fancy word for an agreement. It's a solemn, committed agreement between two or more people. And God makes a covenant that says, look, I'm going to save you. And we see the first three little hints of this in Genesis: Adam, Noah, Abraham. We'll see it later with Moses and David. Even Jeremiah is going to start referring to there's going to be a new covenant, something even bigger and better. The same idea, the same plan, but it's going to just be like blowing your socks off different. It's that much bigger that it feels different. If you, from last year, bought one of these timelines, we still have them if you need to get one, but this shows that covenant timeline. It shows where Genesis fits on it. And it also summarizes these covenants, these agreements. And so if you want one of those, let me know. They can be a great study tool. But the one thing I want to just summarize that whole idea up is that we're going to see how God, when Adam and Eve sinned, he says, you're going to have a son, and He is going to crush the head of the snake, the head of Satan. Now, Satan, the snake, is going to bite his heel. He's going to hurt him, but he's not going to be a death blow. Your seed, your great, 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 great grandchild, or somebody in your family, Adam and Eve, will be the solution to this problem of sin. So we see that develop in these little kind of conversations, covenant conversations, where God peels back more and more information of what that salvation will look like. So I like to think about this as a sonogram. Say you find out you're pregnant and you go to the doctor and you get one of those really, really cool 3D sonograms. Oh my goodness, here's your baby. You send it in a text message to your friends. You put the little picture of it on your refrigerator. You might even put it on Facebook or Instagram and say, look at my baby, I'm so excited. But then you have the baby. Oh, and she's so cute, and you put the little pink outfit on her or the blue hat, and you bring home the baby. And let me ask you, how many of you keep that sonogram picture up? How many of you keep on sending the picture of the sonogram to your mom or to your friends? Does maybe the dad take a framed picture of the sonogram to work? No, they're taking pictures of the baby because the baby's here. So the Old Testament are like sonogram snapshots of what Jesus is coming to do. Jesus is the baby. Jesus and this crazy salvation is going to come true. And we're going to see the baby get born in the New Testament. But what the Old Testament is doing, and we start seeing those first sonogram snapshots in Genesis, is it's starting to get clue us in of what kind of salvation we're going to see. And it's going to be one about people, about place, and about presence. Okay? And we're going to see it ultimately fulfilled in Revelation 21. Okay, so that's the big picture of where we're going. And I want y'all just to have that big picture in mind as we zoom back in into Genesis. So here's what I want you to look for this semester in Genesis. I want you to look for rivals, blessings and curses, family lines, firstborns, the loved and the unloved. Secondly, I want you to look out for irony. There are people who inherit that shouldn't inherit. Who has the firstborn status of this messianic line? Who's giving birth, and how is that an unusual birth? Who's building an ark when it's never rained? Just there's a lot of irony and a lot of like opposites in Genesis. Look for these promises for anything having to do with God being in relationship with his people, giving them a place, and promising his presence. These, I like to call them, these three P's end up being our purpose. That I can have a relationship with God, and that I have a place promised to me, and that he will always be with me, and that I'm part of a people. We see this theme going through Genesis and throughout the Bible. Also be looking out for grace. Grace appears before even sin does, because this creation was a gift, something no one deserved. God just made something fabulous and wanted to share it. So we see that, and then we see grace despite Satan coming into that garden and tempting Eve. We see it despite sin and despite that snake. We see God's initiation and our participation. And we see that God gives grace in so many ways. He is so, you can't put God in a box. So he might come and have grace in the voice telling Noah how to build an ark. I mean, think about how crazy that idea was. He might yank someone like Lot out of Sodom. He might work through prayers of someone for Mrs. Wright to be the mother of this messianic line. He might come and give grace in a dream of angels going up and down a ladder, maybe even in the kidnapping and selling to slavery of a favorite son. Only he can make a nation out of a barren woman. And all these stories of Genesis point to the story of how Jesus is going to save us. So the spoiler alert is in the title. All of this is leading to the story of Jesus. Jesus finishes what Genesis begins. Look at the genealogies in Matthew 1 and Luke 3. They end with Jesus. You can trace it on a piece of paper through just names. But we're also going to see how God's goodness and mercy and how he saves in using the poor, in using the small things, in using the unlikely things, even a carpenter's son, showing us that this salvation is going to require a sacrifice. And actually, it was God's own sacrifice. We're going to talk about next week, looking at Luke 24, of how all of this proves that Jesus is the Savior. Kidner, in his book, and that the resources are listed in the homework, talks about how Genesis, in fact, is in various ways almost nearer the New Testament than the Old. And some of its topics are barely heard again till their implications can fully emerge in the gospel. So we're going to look at Genesis knowing that it's very kin to what we just looked at last semester or last year in Luke, because we spent all year looking at Luke, that gospel, and at Jesus and all the ways he came to fulfill promises. And we're going to go back now and go, wait, let's look again and discover even more about our salvation in Christ. So we'll see, yes, what was lost due to sin, but we're going to see this huge cosmic salvation for not only us, but for the world, and how our stories fit in to his story. See you next week.